It was 1973. I was a first-year student at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. My wife, Jackie, and I were living in a four-apartment brownstone. In the apartment above us was a fourth-year student, Dieter, and his wife, Rosalyn. We quickly became friends. One afternoon, he showed up at my door and said, "Wayne, we've got to go see this movie." "Movie?" I said. "Yes, every seminarian needs to see this movie." "Okay, so what movie is it that every seminarian needs to see?" I asked. "The Exorcist," he shouted. "It just opened and there's a midnight showing and we've got to go." And we did. On the way home, after the movie, I asked Dieter, "So what did you think about the movie?" He replied that when I get ordained, I'm going to get a rite of exorcism and keep it in the top drawer of my desk, just in case, you know what I mean? In our Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Deliver us from evil." Do we need a rite of exorcism? No, we already have one, and it's called baptism. Here is the naked truth about baptism. Baptism is an exorcism. For all the blessed assurance we associate with baptism, being reborn as a child of God, an inheritor of eternal life, baptism at its core is an exorcism. We say as much in the opening baptismal address to the baptized, to their sponsors, and to the congregation. Only we pretty it up a bit with a word like liberation. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death. Or in the red hymnal, God delivers us from sin and death. Deliver, liberates, call it what you will. But baptism is, and always will be, an exorcism. In Matthew's rendition of the prayer our Lord taught, the New Testament Greek is clear when it comes to evil. The oldest manuscripts use the definitive article, the. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray in Matthew's gospel, he says, "Pray like this, deliver us from the evil one." The prayer Jesus taught says that there is an evil one, one who is out there desperately working as a force of evil in the world. When we pray as Jesus taught us, we're exposing ourselves to the evil one. Yes, it is as if by praying the Lord's Prayer, we are saying to the evil one, "Go ahead, make my day. Bring it on." We who pray this prayer are the battleground in the war between good and evil. Evil is a powerful force in the world. The evil one is able to enlist the aid of individuals, philosophies, entire culture, and countries. The act of prayer makes you a target for the evil one, because when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying to be delivered from the evil one. Your prayer is your confession. Your prayer says loudly and clearly and boldly, you are not in control of your own destiny. You are letting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, take control of your life, your fate, and your destiny. To be a Christian isn't having the right beliefs. To be a Christian is to pray. Your prayers say to the world that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you believe in a gracious and loving God. And the evil one absolutely cannot stand for this to happen. So in every way, you will be attacked. Good folks will try to convince you that what America wants is what God wants. And it's okay to want more, and to strive to be the envy of your neighbors. God did not create this wonderful world and then walk away from it. No, this God is active in our world and coming to us again and again, breaking into our world to rescue us, to save us, and to deliver us from evil. Breaking into our world first as an infant, and now in bread and wine, to grant us forgiveness, compassion, and mercy. Ours is a God who can be trusted. For God, our God, so loved the world God gave the only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a holy God who does an unholy thing. God dies for you and for me. This is a God who can be trusted, a God to have faith in. For what we know is this, that we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, and that is the one to whom we pray, deliver us from evil.